have your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can celebrate the birth of your Son. We thank you that we can gather together in this nation to hear your word preached, that people can respond, God. We pray for those people, Lord, that maybe don't frequent the church too often, but today they are coming into the doors of the church, maybe people even here tonight, that they would hear truth spoken, they would hear your word preached, they would respond to it favorably, God. You would touch many, many, many hearts tonight. Lord, do your work across this country, across this world, as only you can. Spirit, fill each one of us tonight, we pray. Amen. All right, how many of you guys have already celebrated Christmas? You've already had maybe gone out tonight with your family or some relatives or friends or something like that? All right, did you guys open up some gifts?
No.
Yeah. Did you guys get any good gifts?
No.
No. Well, the good news is that you still got Christmas tomorrow. So, all right, so hold on to hope there, buddy. But as one of my kids was sharing, as we were, before we opened up any of the gifts tonight, we were traveling to my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house, and they're sharing that really the greatest gift that the Lord could give to them was that people would come to know him today. And that really should encapsulate for all of us really the heart that we have for what Christmas is. Because truly Jesus is the greatest gift that we were given. And so all the other gifts really are are symbolic of the greatest gift that we were given. Well, here we have this story. You know, Pastor Vaughn probably drank out of this, so I'm putting this over here. Because it's not full and there's no ice in it, so that was not done tonight. Stay away. Okay. Shepherds. So it says in verse 8, it says in the same region there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. Now here's what's interesting about this. Because if you look back in chapter 1, Luke tells us something interesting. Luke was a guy after my own heart. Because he says in chapter 1, in verse 1, "And as much as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us," possibly referring to the other Gospels, "just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all these things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." But the reason I like it is it says he's been following it closely for some time past, right? And he wants to write an orderly account for this person, Theophilus. Now that literally in the Greek just means lover of God. So it's possible that it was a title. It's possible that it was some guy's name. Some theologians think that it was a guy that was well off that basically commissioned Luke to do the research and put together an account of Jesus Christ. The reason I like it is because Luke, you can tell as you read Luke, and he wrote Acts as well, and it was really one book, we just kind of break it into two, that he did his research. And if he's not sure of something, he doesn't touch upon it. And what he's sure of, he puts in there. Why is that interesting when we start talking about the shepherds? Because the shepherds, for Luke to include that, he would have wanted to make sure that this was absolutely 100% true. Why? Because for angels to appear to shepherds would have been an outrageous thought back then. Why? Because shepherds back then were lowly and despised. In fact, there's some records that they couldn't even give testimony in court. That's how despised they were. That's how mistrusted they were to be able to give an account of what they were given. So it's interesting because here God is about to break forth the most awesome news ever, and he goes to these supposedly untrustworthy people to give them that news, to give them this most precious news. So he appears to these lowly shepherds. It'd be kind of like him appearing to and doing something today to drug dealers. All right, because if drug dealers came, or drug users even, we'd be like, I don't know, he's kind of a shady person. That's how the shepherds were viewed. They were dealing with animals and everything that goes on with animals. They were not clean. They were probably in a constant state, according to Jewish law, of defilement. So they, and because their job required them to be around the animals and to take care of them, they probably didn't get too many breaks. They didn't get many opportunities to go to the synagogue or the temple to follow the rituals and all of those things. They were looked down upon. They were truly the lowly. And that's who God brings the message first to. The lowly, the despised, those who are kind of the outcasts. They were right up there with tax collectors and pagans and Gentiles. That's kind of the crowd that they would have been lumped into. They were not looked favorably upon. And that's who the message comes to the lowly. So first, it comes to the shepherds. Then, well, first he really came to a young girl, right? A virgin and her soon-to-be new husband, then to the shepherds. That's what the message is for us, that he comes to the lowly. I mean, we're the lowly. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, what is he continually saying? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Right? Hey, thank you. No one drank out of it? You didn't sip it? No. Thanks, Faith. Okay. The message is for us, because we're the lowly. The Sermon on the Mount, turn there if you have your Bibles, Matthew 5. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. When you read this list, it's not like you're thinking, wow, those are the victorious people that are going to take over the world. I mean, you don't get this amazing picture right away if you read it with human eyes. But God doesn't read it with human eyes, right? He reads it with his eyes. That's how he sees us. And so he's talking about the people that will truly receive the message that was given to him. The thing that should amaze us here is that the shepherds received it, and then they acted on the message. They acted on what they received. And you know what? God shows up to them miraculously at a time they're not expecting it. Has God ever showed up for you at a time you haven't been expecting it? Right? And I think sometimes, well, I think we can fall into two traps. One, we can fall into a trap of, we're just kind of like, we fall into a trap of maybe laziness, or just, we're kind of lethargic. And so we're just sitting around kind of waiting for God to show up so we'll actually get off our tails and do something. But then there's the other side where, you know, we're about doing the work of the Lord, and we're doing, and we're serving him, and we're doing this thing, we're doing that thing, and then he comes and shows up and does something that totally blows our mind. Completely out of the water. Now, how do we respond to that shows us where we're at in our walk with the Lord and how we're doing in our faith in response to him. Because God is a God of order, but he does stuff out of the ordinary. And we need to be ready when he does that to respond in faith. Because oftentimes in our Christian walk, we can be going in one direction and God will be like, turn right, 90 degrees, and go off that way. And we're like, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Because the path that you have me on is the straight and narrow path. But you're turning me right. That doesn't make sense. Well, that's where our faith comes in. When the Lord is leading and guiding us, then He's going to take us and have us make right turns and left turns and go this way and that way. It's a straight and narrow path that has many turns and is very windy, as we learn. And these shepherds had to have a response, right? And they responded in faith. Look back what it says in Luke 2. It said, first, in verse 9, they were filled with great fear. Now, you know, my kids and I had this interesting talk the other day about angels. And if you ever do a study on angels in the Bible, it's very interesting. Because when people, you know, angels aren't what we see in pictures, and they've got little wings and white and kind of like floating a little couple feet off the ground or something like that. That's really not the picture we get in the New Testament or the Old Testament. When people see angels in the Bible, it's usually followed with, they were filled with great fear. All right? So it's not like this soft little cuddly thing you just want to kind of go up and hug. All right? And another little cherubim and shooting arrows at people. It's completely different. Time doesn't allow us to go into it. But when you start reading some of the descriptions of the cherubim and the seraphim, it's actually kind of freaky. And you're like, dude, what is going on there? Because you're trying to, you know, this beast with eyes all over it and head like a lion. You're like, something's crazy. So I can understand. We don't ever have a complete, excellent description of maybe just an angel. We get cherubim, seraphim, archangels, right? There's different classes. But whatever appeared to those angels, to those shepherds, these angels, whatever they saw filled them with great fear. It was something powerful. It was something, I'd say, frightening. And whenever the angel responds, usually the first words are, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In fact, if you look at back in chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 30, after Gabriel appears to Mary, he says to her, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. One of the first words. What does he say to Zechariah in verse 13 of chapter 1? The angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. So three appearances in the first two chapters, and the first words out of their mouth is, do not fear, do not be afraid. When the Lord is reaching out to us, and when the Lord appears to us, we have no reason to fear. If He is for us, who can be against us? If He stands with us, though everyone else stand against us, we have no reason to fear. Because we have the mighty, victorious one. We have nothing to fear. So that's what they're told. Do not be afraid. And I want you to notice something here. In verse 16, they received this message. And it says, they went with haste. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So the angels appear. They receive the message that the shepherds do, and they respond immediately on the message that was given. That's where we need to be. All right? For us believers in here, when the Lord speaks to us, you know, sometimes I'm getting to the point too where I have to write things down when the Lord speaks to me because I'll forget them, and that's sad, but it's true. But I've learned if I don't write those things down, I do forget. What did He tell me last week? It was really good in my quiet time. We need to take action on it immediately. When He gives us a word, we act. Now, some of us are parents here, right? And hopefully we're endeavoring to train our children that we tell them something and what? They finish their video game and then they do it, or they finish, you know, the book they're reading and then they do it. No, we're endeavoring to train them that we give them the word and then they respond. Right? Doesn't always work like that. That's what we're endeavoring to do. But why are we doing that? In part, because we're training them that when the Lord speaks to them, they respond immediately. We don't want them to be Jonahs. The Lord gives a word, and what does He do? He goes the opposite way. We want them to hear the word and be like the shepherds who respond immediately. Now tonight, the Lord is giving you a word. Maybe you're not a believer or you're not sure. Look, God the Father covenanted with God the Son. And God the Father wanted to send God the Son to the earth. The Son agreed. It was a commitment, really, they made to each other. I want you to go, Son. Jesus said, I agree to go. He wasn't forced to go. It wasn't against his will. They were in perfect harmony and unity. So the Son comes and lives and is born. I mean, he's born to this young girl who has probably been mocked for the last 9 months for having a child out of wedlock, apparently. You would think he would have appeared, if not to shepherds, you know, to the priestly class, to the rabbis, to at least a class, a family that could, you know, make sure he wasn't, you know, born out on the run in a manger. God doesn't think like we do sometimes. He wanted to make it crystal clear that the message is for everyone. It wasn't a select class or a select group of people that the message was for. It was for all. If it was for the shepherds, then it was definitely for everyone. And the message is for us. So Jesus is born into humble origins. And he lives a perfect life. And about 30 years later, he's crucified on the cross for us, for you, for each one of you. The perfect life, God in the flesh, that's why it's called the incarnation, incarnation meaning flesh. In the flesh, God comes to save us from our sins. We're fallen. We can't do anything to save ourselves. Do your best. Try your best. And it will always fall short, way short. God comes and takes man and reunites him with himself. He removes the barrier of sin for us. And that's what we celebrate, this priceless gift that the Father gave us in his Son. And it's available to each one of you if you but put your faith in Christ, that it was for you. Listen, the shepherds received the message and responded. But many people heard the message over those next 30 years and didn't respond. They heard it. They saw him in the flesh and they rejected it. Don't be like those people. Be like the shepherds. Be like the lowly ones, the ones that were desperate for someone to reach out with some hope to them. And they grasped it. They saw it for what it was, the truth. And they took hold of it. Respond in faith to Christ. And the Bible says, you will be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you did send your Son into this world for us. That it was your plan from the beginning that he would live and then die on a cross. Our sins having been nailed to him. We didn't deserve it at all. We can't earn it in no way possible. But you give it to us, Lord. That's grace. That's your mercy. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, speak to them now. Touch their heart. What a day to be saved. The night of the birth of the celebration of your Son. For us, God, that know you, may we continue to be like the shepherds. Whatever you say, we respond. We do it. We respond in haste. We obey immediately, regardless of the cost, regardless of what turns you take us in our life, God, for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.